All right. Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with a thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, past his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me. For they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless with him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyes. With the kind you show yourself, with the blameless you show yourself blameless. With the pure you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you show yourself, crooked you show yourself astute. For you have saved an afflicted people, but haughty eyes you abase. For you, lamp, light my lamp, the Lord my God illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me. And I destroyed those who hated me. They cried for help, but there were none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Excuse me. Then I beat them fine as the dust before the wind. I emptied them out as the mire of the streets. You have delivered me from the contentions of the people. You have placed me as head of the nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners submit to me. Foreigners fade away and come trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and subdues peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me up, lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. God, thank you for today. God, just thank you for your day, God, that we can worship you. And God, that we can gather with a local body of believers, God, and teach your name. God, send us your message today, Father. God, use us and guide us, Father, direct us. God, may you lead your messenger to teach your message, Father. That God, that you will draw your people closer to you, Father. And that God, you will draw your elect to you. That God, you will save them. God, you will guide them. God, radically save them. And God, we just ask that God, you again bless today, Father, in the worship time, in the teaching time, and in the fellowship time, God. May your name be high and lifted up. For your name, I pray. Amen.
We're in Genesis chapter 35, if you will turn there. I'm embarrassed. This is going to be kind of a brief message. But pray for me physically, mentally, every which way you can. Genesis chapter 35. And I think I'm reading from the New King James Version, starting in verse 6. Let's back up. I'm going to read the first five verses. I really need to go over them again to show you the context here. Chapter 35, starting in verse 1. This is the New King James. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears. Jacob hid them under the terebinth or oak tree which was by Shechem. And verse 5, "And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob." And we start in verse 6, which says, so Jacob So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, and he and all the people who were with him. And it occurred to me that we might not have a good idea of who was with him, or who would this include. The one thing that came to my mind especially, not only his family, not only his descendants, but this would include those little ones and the widows of the men of Shechem who were taken as plunder. And we saw that in Genesis 34 and 29, and it said, and this is what Simeon and Levi did in the city of Shechem. Verse 29, 28. They took their sheep, their oxen, their donkeys, which was what was in the city and what was in the field, and all their wealth, all their little ones and their wives they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in the houses. So this group says he and all the people who are with him included those little ones, those children, those infants who were at that time orphans, and the widows of the men that died in Shechem. Why are they going back to Luz? It's in response to God's direction in the first verse. He told him specifically, arise and go up to Bethel, that's the new name for Luz, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother. So, verse 6 again, they came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people that were with him. Verse 7, and he built an altar there and called the place Bethel, because God had appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. And keep in mind, it's not evident in the verses that we're covering. This is 20 to 30 years later from the time when he fled his parents' home for fear of his elder brother. And for some strange reason, it strikes me as strange, God had a purpose. In verse 8, in a kind of change of the subject, verse 8 says, now Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died. Who can tell me who Rebecca was?
Isaac's wife.
Isaac's wife. That would make her whose mother?
Jacob's mother.
Jacob and?
Esau.
And Esau's mother. Well, someone by the name of Deborah, and we're not sure who she is or who she was, except for the fact that she was Rebecca's nurse, undoubtedly in her old age, because there's no evidence in God's word at what point in the life of Jacob that his mother died. We don't know. It's not mentioned. It's not even suggested. But Deborah died. She's only described as Rebecca's nurse. She died and was buried below Bethel before they got to Bethel, under the terebinth or oak tree. So the name of it was called Alon Bachuth, the oak of weeping. And I understand that the word terebinth and oak in describing a tree, it's the same thing. It's just interchangeable what you call it. And undoubtedly she was very much thought of, and for no reason that I know. I read one commentator that said that this Deborah was kind of a grandmotherly type, and that's why she's mentioned, and that's why there was weeping and sorrow for losing her. But the one of the commentators said that she had to have been 180 years old. And I'm suggesting that that has been said, but I'm not suggesting it can be proven. And it kind of inserted in the text, not related to the overall story. And then verse 9, then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. And again, I understand from those who understand Hebrew the reason for that or the meaning of that name has been interpreted or translated, he fights or persists with God. So he called his name Israel from that point on. And God said, also God said to him, I am God Almighty. That would be El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and, something he's not said before, and kings shall come from your body. Not only that, verse 12 says, the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after you, I give this land. What was the land? Well, it was the land of Canaan, what we call the Holy Land. So God is giving the land, he repeats the offer. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants. After you, I give this land. So I have a question. It's not an easy question, but it could be said that it's trending right now, if you know what that means. It's trending amongst conservative Christians. Can the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still claim that Canaan land, modern-day Israel, belongs to them? They do, don't they? Isn't that what's being proclaimed nowadays? Because of a great war with multi casualties that's been going on for, a year and a half now? Can they still claim that Canaan land, that modern-day Israel, belongs to them? If so, what's the basis of their claim? I think we need to look to the New Testament for the answer. I want you to turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21. Bear with me. We have technical difficulties here. All right, Matthew 21, 33 through 46. This is a parable of Jesus. Some call it the parable of the tenants. But this is the parable as Jesus, as Matthew recorded it in this 21st chapter. Jesus speaking in verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, believing, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard comes, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say to him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, say I unto you, hear this now. Therefore, this is God in the flesh speaking to the people in Jerusalem. Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Verse 45 says, and when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spoke of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Go back to the question I asked. Can the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still claim that modern-day Israel belongs to them? If so, what is the basis of their claim? How would you answer that question? What would be the basis of their claim? I think it would be what we've read here today in Genesis would be the basis. The fact of the matter is, God provided for that nation. For a very, very long time. But what we see in the parable has come to pass. God sent the Messiah that he promised. But Israel The chief priests, particularly the chief priests, the Pharisees, heard the parable of the tenants, and because they feared the multitude, at that time they couldn't lay hands on him. But they rejected the Messiah that God had sent, and their claim to the land is strictly from the Old Testament, how that God promised the land here to Jacob, to his descendants, they neglected the New Testament. They refused the Messiah that God sent specifically. And God did just exactly, he has done just exactly what Jesus predicted in this parable of the tenant. And I hope that wasn't too much of a rabbit trail. But I think that the answer is that they rejected the New Testament in the person of the Messiah, and God was done. We cannot just read the Old Testament. We have to read the New Testament to explain what is true and what is truth today. And I don't think that they can claim it based on what Jesus himself told us. So go back and proceed to verse 13. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on that. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel, which means house of God.